In the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer, amen. In the past few weeks, if you have been following along, the gospel has told us about Jesus doing many great acts as the Son of God. He calms the sea, he heals Jairus' daughter, and he heals the hemorrhaging woman who just reached out and touched the hem of his robe. But in today's gospel reading, things are not such smooth sailing. Jesus is essentially rebuked in his own hometown. Yes, it says he gets in a healing or two, but the locals, they don't want to hear the message Jesus is offering. And in fact, they just didn't hear it. The gospel says that they took offense at him. Took offense. I mean, not just like, oh, whatever, Jesus, but wanted no part of what Jesus was bringing and teaching in the synagogue. But the thing about Jesus is, does he stop when his own village doesn't want to hear from him? No, Jesus does not stop. Rather, Jesus, my favorite word, pivots. You all know about pivoting, right? Jesus pivots. And he takes this moment to look at the disciples and send them out two by two. Jesus does not send them out at some triumphant moment after a miraculous healing witnessed by many or the feeding of 5,000, which don't worry, we're going to have plenty of those sermons coming up later this summer. Instead, Jesus sends them out on this difficult day, charging the disciples to take the message to villages far and wide. And Jesus makes clear to them, this is not going to always be an easy task. Some, like the people of Nazareth, aren't going to want to hear the message that the disciples are bringing. In fact, the disciples will be rebuked by some, if not many. And Jesus gives them instructions for what they should do when this happens. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. Just like Jesus, the disciples are not to stop spreading the gospel message when they are rebuked. I appreciate what one of my favorite commentators, Matt Skinner, has to say about how Jesus sends them out. He says, Jesus doesn't send his people out to be know-it-alls. They're guests. With no bag and no tunic, with only themselves to offer when they arrive somewhere, they are guests, and they are humbly willing to submit themselves to the people they encounter. Skinner goes on to point out that in this gospel and sending out of the 12, there is no talk of great conversions or confession or the giving of money or churches forming once the disciples go out. Jesus's command to the disciples is simply to spread the gospel. Tell the story of Jesus, live into the redemptive healing power of God. And in fact, that's exactly, if you think about it, how the Gospel of Mark starts. The Gospel itself tells this exact same message. The beginning of the news of Jesus Christ, it is as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger out ahead of you, who will prepare your way? The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The Gospel of Mark begins with the call to tell the good news, to share the good news, to prepare a way. And Jesus sends the disciples out to do this very work. Today's reading gives us a lot to think about how you and I are supposed to be disciples. How is it St. Cross is to bear witness to Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in 2024? And I'm here to tell you, I personally witnessed the Episcopal Church thinking about this very question for 10 days in Louisville at the end of June at our General Convention. And I will do a rector's forum in a few weeks to discuss all that happened. If you care about what our church has decided about certain issues and what resolutions we made and what canonical changes, that's changes in Episcopal law, really exciting work. But I can talk about all that took place. But the heart of our work, the heart of every decision, every resolution, every vote, the heart of our work was how we can be disciples of Jesus. Retiring presiding Bishop Curry led us in a revival. Yes, a revival, a real revival with music and preaching and praying and laying on of hands. Episcopalians gathered in an arena, and it was great. And if you haven't heard presiding Bishop Michael Curry preach, it's pretty great. And I will give you a link to his sermon later. And he preached at this revival. He preached from the Gospel of Matthew and then later John, but not Mark. But he preached on the same moment of sending out the disciples. And I would not ever dare to imitate Bishop Curry. You really have to see it for yourself. But this is how Bishop Curry summarized Jesus' sending out the disciples. I need you all to go out. I want you to go. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations, all stripes and types of God's children, because I need them to be a witness to all people that I love them. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, because he's old school like that from time to time. But why is it that we should follow this call? Why is it that we need to go out? Why are we called to spread the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, Bishop Curry, for 9 years as our presiding bishop, has told us again and again why we are to do this. Because the Bible is all about, anybody know? Love. The Bible is all about love. And if it isn't about love, then it isn't about God. Imagine if you and I, imagine if us as St. Cross, a body who believes in Jesus, truly embraced this message of discipleship. Imagine if we were to bear witness with our everyday lives to God's unfailing love. And I can tell you, Jesus' message of love is one that not only our world and certainly our country need to hear right now, it is also a message that you and I desperately need to embody and remember and to live into, and to spread and share with our neighbor. When we walk out of these doors each week, we need to remember that we are being sent. It's why the deacon at the end of every service sends us out, because our work does not finish when we walk out the door. In fact, our work begins the minute we walk out this door. We are sent into the world to share God's love. And we can spread and share God's love in big ways, like working to provide affordable housing with the riches that we have been given. But we can also spread God's love in small ways, in individual ways, by simply giving a caring word, by sharing a smile, by giving a helping hand. Actions that we know inherently are good to do, but sometimes we are so caught up in our own world or our phone in front of us that we forget to recognize the humans around us and to share God's love with them. You may think that maybe your small act doesn't count, but let me give you one way in which these small acts of God's love can add up. I was in an Uber with a colleague. No, I wasn't in an Uber. I was in a Lyft with a colleague at one point towards the end of our 10 days together in Louisville. And as we got in, the driver, we were not in collars, we were in plain clothes, we get in, and the driver asks if we're with that church convention that's in town. We said we were, and she went on to thank us. Thank us as Episcopalians for being kind, for being friendly, for making her feel safe when she picked us up to drive us somewhere, not us, us. For tipping generously to the gig workers, for asking her how her day was going. She thanked us and told us how happy she was to have us in town. I have pondered that interaction for days. You see, no one of us gathered there could spread the gospel message that strongly with one conversation, with one car ride. But each of us, doing our part to live into loving our neighbor, to treating other humans as we would want to be treated, in speaking to other humans as we would want to be spoken to, as sharing God's love, it was the gospel witness of each rider who got into her car that added together for her to know who the Episcopal Church was and what we were about and what our message of Jesus was about. Our small acts matter. So in the words of Jesus, or in the words of Bishop Curry, I need y'all to go out. Go out, be disciples of Jesus, and spread God's love. Amen.